Guys, it's the Lone Wolf here, and I'm back with another episode of Everything Yu-Gi-Oh!, the podcast where I literally talk about anything Yu-Gi-Oh! Related, anime. That's it. I don't talk about the TCG because I suck at playing. Even though my skills say otherwise, I don't keep up with the TCG as much as I would want to. I don't, because, like, yeah, I just, like, I see card designs, I get hyped, and then I'm back to questioning Yu-Gi-Oh! 7s, which, last week's episode was a real doozy, that I will get into my review later, but, first things first, and this relates to 7s, funny enough, so, apparently, Yu-Gi-Oh! 7s, it's plural, right? Yeah, it's plural. Yu-Gi-Oh! 7s, it's gonna premiere on Sunday mornings now in Japan, which that means every Saturday if you're here in the U.S. Yeah, every Saturday here in the U.S. you're gonna get an episode instead of Friday, which I don't know how it works with my schedule. That's gonna be a fun thing to figure out on Saturdays now. I don't know why they're pushing it back to a later day. This hasn't happened before. This isn't the first time where dates have been shuffled around. I know for a fact that Pokemon, they used to, like, air on Thursdays before airing to Sundays, and now they're airing to Fridays now. So that's an example of that. So, I would honestly kind of blame TV Tokyo by a small percentage. If you don't know what TV Tokyo is, well, you should. But in case for people who don't know, TV Tokyo is the broadcaster? I don't know. It's the TV channel that people in Japan, they go to watch anime. There's that to consider. So when you know, the production team for Yu-Gi-Oh! 7's, aka Studio Bridge, they were like, we need more time, or TV Tokyo was like, hey, we need to move the shonen corner to a different time because of reasons. I hope it's the second option and not because of Studio Bridge needing more time, because they shouldn't. Like, I'm not saying they need more time. I mean, don't get me wrong. COVID is a huge issue, unfortunately. And I get people need more time to, like, deal with things. But at the same time, this has been in production since, I want to say, like, September of 2019. So, you know. I'm not saying it's not Studio Bridge's fault, but come on. If it's for that reason and that reason alone, which, now that I think about it, no, I don't think so. Now, rehashing it in my brain again, and I guess this is one way to start off a Yu-Gi-Oh! Episode. I'm pretty sure I blame the people at TV Tokyo, not the production staff, because if Yu-Gi-Oh! 7s is moving, I wouldn't be surprised if Boruto was moving. I wouldn't be surprised if, Vanguard was moving to Sunday, the Precure, what was it, actually, I don't know what Precure series is airing right now, because there are way too many. Well, I don't keep track with Precure, so that says something about me. But, if it's only Yu-Gi-Oh! 7s, then it's probably going to be a Studio Bridge sort of thing. And they were like, hey, can we push it to Sunday? If it's just Yu-Gi-Oh! 7s, then blame Studio Bridge for the push. If it's everything, the whole shonen corner with Boruto and, again, Yu-Gi-Oh! 7s and Vanguard, then I blame the people at TV Tokyo. So, yeah, I don't know how I know Japanese TV, but I do. I blame Kamen Rider and, to an extent, Super Sentai, but that'll be a topic on discussion at the Lone Wolf podcast, because we're talking about Yu-Gi-Oh! We're not talking about Toei property. So with that being said, Valentine's Day was kind of not that long ago, but in terms of episode 36, you have to talk about it. And, so, you know, I thought, let's talk about romance in Yu-Gi-Oh! Because I got nothing else better to talk about. Like, I'm surprised people are still listening to this. Even if my analytics are mostly male. And by mostly, I mean all. As a female, I'm not sure how to feel about this. On the one thing, I'm flattered. On the one side, I am concerned. And I blame my analytics for telling me. I sometimes ignore my analytics, but sometimes I don't. So, romance! Yu-Gi-Oh! They don't go well together. They just don't. Because it's a shonen, because you need to have a dense pro tag, and then there's shipping involved, and the ships are normally down when the series ends, and I'm just like, yep, that makes sense. So, and to an extent, season zero was like that, with the whole, I mean, with, I'm pretty sure Yugi having a crush on Anzu, because it was a thing with boys having crushes on girls, and frankly, I want more of that. Not in Yu-Gi-Oh, just like every romance genre in general. I just want to see guys have crushes on girls and then they try to make a move on them. I'm sorry, but I've seen way too much girl trying to get guy romances. And I know some anime that are like not like that. Like, I think Fruits Basket, it's a weird process, but I will talk about Fruit Basket and the Lone Wolf Dormitory as soon as when season 3 comes out. So, there's a lot to consider. But, yeah, in terms of Yu-Gi-Oh! Specifically, they don't mix well with romance. It's like water and oil, because, like, even the whole crushes thing, like, nah, that's not what their main demographic, which is, again, boys. Young boys. I don't know, I'm trying to sound like I'm not weird or anything, but, like, kids! Their main demographic is kids. There we go. Why am I so weird? Anyway, so yeah, sometimes it just does not sit well with kids. And when you have kids as your main demographic, you tend to put more action because kids have a low attention span. Yay! And then the older generation is just like, we want something more mature. We end up getting Yu-Gi-Oh! Brains, and look how that turned out. Terrible in all qualities. And I have talked about brains before, but sometimes there's more to pick on brains than what I can do in 30 minutes. So, and like 30 minutes? No, not 30 minutes. With brains, it had the least ship potential. Unless you count LGBTQ with I and Yusaku, which I can see that happening, not gonna lie. Yeah, I can see that, not gonna lie, with shipping I and Yusaku. But then that's all. It's also the same thing with Yami Yugi and Yugi. I don't think GX had anything. 5Ds. Maybe Bruno and Yusei. I know for Zayu or Zexal, it's Astral. I can't speak. Oh well, Astral and Yuma. Arc 5 was a mess. No, I'm kidding. But like, because like you're shipping with a relative, and that's already creepy. Like, we don't want incest here. And I know this is like clean, but at the same time, I'm more like PG-13, so there's that to consider. And then, you know, we're back to eyeball shipping, which is Yusaku and I, and then Sevens is, I don't know anymore, although I have seen a lot of fan art with Yuga and Gakuto and Yuga and Roa and Yuga, and I think Nao. So Twitter is just weird, but then again, I am in a Discord server where, LGBTQ ships can happen, and I can buy it I don't know how, but I somehow buy it. Which I'm not opposed to that. It's just that when it comes to Yu-Gi-Oh, LGBTQ is like least in their demographic, if that makes any sense. Like, if I know Yu-Gi-Oh, they wouldn't be down to do that. Now, I'm not saying I am opposed to LGBTQ. I do believe that representation, especially in anime, is a good thing, especially in a shonen, because shonen is so basic and we need variety, thank you very much. But it's like least likely they're not gonna do that though, which I'm like, Konami, you need to step up your game. But you know, at the same time, it's in Japan, and we have to unfortunately think about how the Japanese audience wants. Americans get nothing. That's just common sense, unfortunately for Yu-Gi-Oh! So, but I would love to see a LGBTQ character in Yu-Gi-Oh! I don't think there was one. I could be wrong. Seriously, I could be wrong here. I don't know in history, whether or not an LGBTQ person has ever appeared in Yu-Gi-Oh! I only read fanfics about it, and even that is like minuscule. And this ties into romance in Yu-Gi-Oh! Somewhat, because romance never happens. The only real romantic scene, technically, aka the most favorite, also the most hyped one, is when, the end of 5D's Aki and Yusei meet one final time before Aki goes with her parents or whatever, I think. And if I sound bored, I'm sorry. But they meet, lights are closed, they're in the garage. No, wait, no, in 5Ds, that makes sense. They're in a garage, and it's the mood is set up, and they're so happy with each other. And then the camera like literally zooms in on their faces. Well, normally, like their eyes, they zoom in on their eyes. Aki closes her eyes, and then they disembrace very slowly. And then Aki is so happy. And a lot of people, and I hope this is canon, they kissed. Which I'm like, yep, no, I see that. Keep in mind, I haven't watched 5Ds. Ever. Only bits and pieces because I stand for Aki. That's it. And there's that to consider. And I am just like, yeah, I see it. I see it. And then the second romantic thing ever, I say that quote unquote, is when Kairi, no, it's Akari. Yeah, Yuma's sister in Zayaru or Zexal. Kit, oh well, her ex-boyfriend kind of kissed her, and then thank goodness she slapped him, because I am just like, you deserve that. But anyway, those were the only like romantic moments with Zayaru. They have an on-screen kiss because censoring is still a thing, even though I don't know, censoring kisses in shonen is still a thing, unfortunately. Amora shipping. Anyway, but yeah, so, I mean, yeah, there were like romantic moments, like with Carly and Jack. Well, not really. I think they confessed their love to each other, and then Carly is just immediately out of the picture. Shin Yoshida. And, let's see, Alexis, aka Asuka, did confess her love to Judai, but then Judai is like a dense. He's not dense. He was mature in season 4, but he was still dense and oblivious to Alexis's feelings, and also I don't think Yubel would stand for that. If anything, they would just be like, Yubel would just be like, hands off, he is mine. And I am just like, okay, I know you're like, you love pain, you just love it, like, you generally love it, and I am just like, I don't know how to feel about this. I just don't. So, and then, there's Blair, but like, Blair is Blair. And based off my bias from Duel Links, because she's available on Duel Links now, her deck is lame. Yeah, the maiden encounter was it was a good strategy, but then I was also playing with the Blue Eyes deck, So, you know, there's that to consider. The point is, GX was weird. well, not really, but, you know, sometimes, like, the crushes and, like, crushes saying, oh, my darling, and something like that, or, like, you, like, they're really, really an open book about their love. It's meant for comedy. I'm gonna say right now, it's just meant for comedy. If it's, like, serious, like, again, with Yugi and Teya. Yeah, Yugi had a crush on Taya, or like Alexis or Asuka in GX. You know, that's a serious crush thing. Oh wait, yeah. Taya's name in the Japanese original series is, I think, Anzu. There we go. I don't know who's. I don't know what a Yu-Gi-Oh fan is listening to this, so I need to be aware. And then, you know, there's 5Ds with Yusei and Aki, and Yuma and Kotori, or Tori, which I'm just like. Okay, the crush thing is like the only good character development for Tori, but like, we need more female duelist power, and like, Rio came in late, and I am just like. Now? Seriously? Now? I digress on that. Arc 5 kinda, I mean, you know, there was like Yuzu and Yuya being close together, and then, you know, they were blushing on whether or not they each had a crush on each other or not, and then they kinda like that scene where like Yuzu finally meets with Yuya after the Synchro arc, and then they hug, and then Yuzu somehow gets trapped into the fusion dimension. And then, well, Yuya is in XZ's dimension, or XYZ, XYZ dimension, I don't know what it's called anymore, because Xeyaru just. Oh, how they dubbed it was so weird! It was just weird! It felt weird! Too many English names, and I am just like. Oh, brother. Anyway, so there's that to consider. What else? But yeah, Arc 5 was. I mean, don't get me wrong, like, the shipping was there with, Yuto and Ruri, or Lulu in the dub. Like, it was kind of implied that those two were in a relationship. Yeah. And, Brains had nothing other than eyeball shipping. But they don't want it to be like that because. You know, apparently LGBTQ characters are just impossible for Konami. Which I'm like, as much as how political it might be to get an LGBTQ character in Yu-Gi-Oh! And technically in shonen anime in general, like, it would be nice, you know, have some diversity. But no, almost every character is like heterosexual until said how to. Until said otherwise, but I don't know why I'm bringing up LGBTQ. I mean, most of the people that I know who love Yu-Gi-Oh! Are LGBTQ, so maybe I'm just rooting for them, I guess. Yeah, that's why. And you know, like, I understand if they need to be heterosexual or whatever the case may be because, like, you know, it's for kids and kids won't understand if the same sex. If a same-sex relationship just happened, but at the same time, like, okay, I don't know, it's whatever Konami wants. They kind of own Yu-Gi-Oh, so you know, there's that to consider, and which I'm like, okay, it's not bad, but okay, so. Other than me ranting about why an LGBTQ character should be in Yu-Gi-Oh, which they should. It's about 20 years. Give us a character already. But then, you know, I understand with the whole politics and all that, and I don't know how the current emperor of Japan will take it because Reiwa era is just a great time to be in right now. Well, not really. I mean, I've noticed changes. Let's just say that. Like before the Reiwa era, which is just an era that Japan likes to go through emperorism and whatever. The former emperor, around his ruling, a lot of shows were being like serious and all that, and they were like transitioning from the era between father and son and stuff like that. So before then, before the Reiwa era, which is technically now 2020, 2021, around that time, shows would be like fun, serious, and then back to fun. And then I am just like, dang, dang. Like, I've noticed it with Yu-Gi-Oh, how they had like Arc 5, a totally light and fun show, even though there were dark elements along the line, to like Vrain's, a more serious show, and then back to Seven's, with Kamen Rider, it would used to be Kamen Rider Zio, then 01, and then Saber, which is kind of a light show, things like that. And I'm just like, okay. And like, again, I blame the demographic for everyone who watches these shows in Japan. But yeah, I know this was supposed to be a romantic episode, but you know, with the lack of romantic moments in Yu-Gi-Oh, it's kind of not possible. Like, yeah, I'm happy that Kotori finally confessed her feelings to Yuma at the end of Xeyaru, but like, it was so blatantly obvious, and I'm just like, why won't you say anything? And like, if Colt, like, not gonna lie, kind of ruined her character for me, because if she's just meant to be like a quote unquote love interest for Yuma, then I am just like, you don't duel. You had a duel and you lost. Not to mention you were mind controlled. Not to mention your partner happens to be the person who loves to duel with cats. I think it was Kathy, I forgot. And no, yeah, that's it. And then, like, she's just there as a support character, similar how to, like, Teya, aka Anzu, was done. And I'm just like, if this is the most relatable Yu-Gi-Oh, and if you're like trying to reboot back to like Duel Monsters or whatever, then I'm just like, well, times are changing and all that guts and glory. But yeah, I think Duel Monsters, the amount of romantic, I don't want to say implications or whatever, but it was nice to see a boy having a crush on a girl because of who they are and not because for their body. I am just like, okay, Yugi, I respect that, because you don't really see a lot of shonen protagonists to be like that. They're either one shipped, they're either one, the protagonist has, the main female lead happens to have a crush on them, or two, a lot of people ship them and boys, and you know, that's fun to see on Twitter. And to an extent, Tumblr. But, yeah, and like, I don't want to really get analytical with Teya, Aranzu, with you and Yugi, because let's just face it, Teya, Anzu, whatever you want to call her, she isn't really interested in romance right now and during the show, because, like, you know, she wants to be a dancer in New York, which, have fun with that. And I am just like, okay, cool, nice. Because I have low expectations for Yu-Gi-Oh! In general. And I think Seven's really like amped up their relationship takes. I don't know. With Vrain's, the only developing relationship you kinda were really hoping for was I and Yusaku. Like, we know that Takeru, aka Theodore Hamilton, whatever you want to call him, and Flame were kind of okay. Jin and Lightning was just toxic. Wendy never had his partner. Earth died. Spoilers for Brains, whoopee! And, stuff like that. Am I missing anybody? I mean, Aqua was with Miu, but Miu ended up being in a comatose state, so she had to go to Aoi because it was just Gallup's excuse to write out her character, because her character was just being drowned out by all the male energy that was around. And I'm like, Gallup, you need to get your stuff together. Like, I'm sorry, but the writing for Vrains was just bad, in my opinion. I know people are probably going to be like, it wasn't, and here's why. And I'm going to see in, like, an essay text or just straight up essay of why Vrains has very good writing, which I dare you. But yeah, I am going to speak about Sevens. So, woo! Spoilers, sort of not really. I don't know. I will go more in depth with it when I do my Sevens review. But I do like the relationships established in Sevens. Because, like, you know, like, yeah, there's shipping energy with Roman and Rook back during the whole Maximum arc or whatever. Yeah, the Maximum arc. And then, like, no, yeah, there was Rook and Roman shipping during the Maximum arc. We don't get to see that because Roman barely does squat. And yeah, she does squat. She doesn't duel. She only dueled to Sushiko, and she lost. So yeah, that's great. That's just PG. I mean, don't get me wrong. The female energy in Sevens is great, but are they forgetting who the main female lead is? I hope not. Like, I'm glad that Taiga, whatever you want to call her, is getting the limelight, or had the limelight, 2 episodes ago, I believe. No, wait. Last week's episode, my bad. And, you know, you got Asuna with the whole Maximum ordeal, and things like that, but, like, you know, give some love to Roman. Just a little bit more, please. I don't know who's the female lead in this story anymore. I seriously don't. Like, you know, like, the balance is great and everything like that. And I'm glad. Well, sorta. Not really. I mean, because, like, okay, with Ranze, and I will talk about it more in the review. She acts like a normal girl. And what I mean by that is that, what's it called? Well, she has crushes, but it's like typical for a girl her age to have crushes. And I'm like, I'm glad it's not just all platonic and friendship and all that. And, like, don't get me wrong, that's great, but that's also boring. So it would be nice to have some, not all, but some romantic tension between the characters. I don't know why it has to be Yuga, but she has a crush on Yuga, and that was already established back in, like, what, episode 28? Yeah. And then, like, there's, like, romantic tensions between Asuna and Yuga, but, like, Asuna's keeping her feelings aside because, let's just face it, she needs power. But not needs, she has power, and she kind of plans to keep the power. Anyway, this romantic, quote-unquote, episode of Yu-Gi-Oh! Everything Yu-Gi-Oh! Has been, not what I expected it to be. Like, okay, like, for a franchise who has barely enough romance, you really don't have a lot to go off of other than the Aki and Yusei scene. And then, like, you know, like, yeah, there are scenes of them, like, actually conversation with each other, and I mean that in Yu-Gi-Oh! In general, when the male lead and the female lead finally talk, or they have a very intense moment, but sometimes we need more than that just to balance everything out. Like, not everything has to be serious. I don't care if they get teased or not. Like, I actually love the tease, because, I don't know, I like it when a side character teases the main character about a crush. It just gets me excited because are they gonna do it or not? Okay, real quick, I'm gonna shout out a fanfic that I have been reading for quite a while now. I believe it has, like, what, 70 chapters, I think, give or take. It's by SciFan955, I don't know. The fanfic link will be down below, so go ahead and read it. And, I forgot the title, but I know it's a Yu-Gi-Oh! Brains fanfic. It's about, they have an OC character, named Yasutuke,
Take. Like, I can't say the other two, so I'm gonna call him Yasu, even though I probably might be killed if I actually call them that in canon. Anyway, so Yasu is a victim of the Lost Incident, because go figure, and what's it called? And like, you know, like, lost victim, gets a lot of nightmares, social anxiety, the whole ordeal. Spoilers, by the way. And what's it called? And just the romantic, not romantic, well, sort of, I don't know, how do I say this without giving out too many spoilers out? Well, the fanfic is great because, and better than Brains, because there is actually, like, normal human interaction. I'm pretty sure the fanfic writer doesn't know I exist or knows of the podcast exists. I would be happy if he did. I'm assuming it's a he, although I'm gonna call him they until they said otherwise, and don't at me for assuming pronouns because I don't know any better. But yeah, the fanfic is great. Check it out. I love it because, for one thing, it has more human interactions than Brains, in my opinion. And, like, you know, like, you really get to flesh. Well, finally, they fleshed out Yusaku to not be a dang robot, so that already says something. Yeah, so again, check it out. The fanfic is great. The recent chapter was, I think, out like 2 days ago. They kind of upload on a monthly basis, so, you know, refresh your memory if you need to. But I love it because the writing is so much better than Gallup. So, Yu-Gi-Oh! 7's episode 36. Okay, there's one scene that was just like, why is this there? And that's the scene where we thankfully saw that in the beginning, when Asuna is cleaning her machine. G006, something like that. Anyway, she cleans her machine, her digging machine, whatever it is. I don't know construction. Don't at me for that. But I'm honestly like, she's simping for the robot. She's simping for the robot. And I can use the word simp because this ain't Twitch. Anyway, no, for real though, I am just like, dang, you are really attached to machines, aren't you, Asuna? And I hope that plays a huge part. I mean, it will, but I also hope that, you know, they flesh it out more. I mean, they kind of did it, but like, I want to see more. And then, we get to Shuveru. Shuveru, something. I don't know. The official translators don't. Not official. That, I wish. But the fan translators, they don't even know how to spell his name out either. Because translating is hard. Which, by the way, I thank you to the subbers, Anime. Anime subs, there we go. I love them. They do the subs. It's the only reason why I'm doing this podcast right now. And then, well, half of it, it's inspiration from people I know. But without Anime subs, honestly, I would have given up on this show. I wouldn't been like seriously more impatient and all that, and I'm just like, okay. So, thank you, Anime subs. I know they probably don't know that this podcast exists. It's fine. Whatever. It's fine being a secret until people are like, why didn't I know you sooner? I suck at shamelessly promoting myself, and also I kind of want to stand with my own 2 feet and not depending on people. Because sometimes when I depend on people, I feel like they're seeing a side of me that they wish they never seen, and then they start to regret their decisions on meeting me. So that's why I don't shamelessly promote my stuff to like group chats or whatever, because I feel like they're gonna do it because I told them so, and I don't want them like that. Like, I want to stand on my own 2 feet by that. Like, I want the listens to come from people who actually are interested and are discovering it, and not from people who shameless plug. That will be a whole issue on its own. Anyway, so back to 36, we got Shuvaru, and he was like, oh, like, they know about the mines and whatever. Oh, they're probably gonna come to the Colosseum. I don't know how they have a Colosseum, but they have a Colosseum, and I'm like, how is this possible? And then he hears digging, and then poof, Gallant shows up, and my oh my, he looks tired. He just looks tired. Like, he just looks so, like, he's like panting and all that, and I'm like, why do you not, did you not rest? Did you not sleep? I am just like, peachy. So, you know, Gallant is like, I want to redeem myself. I want to say, I want to protect the Great One. I want to have a chance to protect the Great One. And I am like, your devotion for Asuna, I'm not sure if that's honorable or straight up creepy. Because, like, okay, when Gallant dueled Gakuto, and, you know, in that episode, we see flashbacks of him taking care of Asuna, the question I had was, how old is he? Like, he looks way, and I mean way, way too old to be a high school, not a high school, an elementary kid. He looks way too old. Also, if he was an elementary school kid, he wouldn't be, the flashbacks wouldn't have been happening. Now, granted, it could have just been all his own beliefs and whatever, like, that's how he sees Asuna and all that, like, oh, like, I took care of you, I'm gonna protect you and all that biz, but he sounds old. He sounds old. Like, he sounds really old. Like, he sounds like he already got through puberty. So, with that said, I am just like, well. So, yeah. Gallant is tired out of his own mind. Shuvaru is like, fine, go redeem yourself in the most fancy French way possible. And then, Yuga and the gang are, walking through the mines, trying to find a way to escape. No, trying to find a way to find Machine Cavalry Club secret and all that jazz. And then, you know, Ranze being Ranze, because I blame the previews, she slips and Yuga catches her and goes all lovey-dovey on Yuga. And I'm like, this is the most upsettest thing I have ever seen ever. Like, no, okay, don't get me wrong, like, the whole romantic fantasy aspect, that kinda, for some weird reason, reminded me of Gallup's art style, by, like, 25%, because he just looks so serious, even though he's short, and I am just like, Ranze, get yourself together, seriously, get yourself together. I know people that age experiences crushes, maybe for the first time, maybe it's all, like, this is, like, pre-teen crushes are not determined. They are not. Most of the times, like, it just happens and you think it's a crush, but it's not. It's just an infatuation. And then when you actually know them as a person, you just hate them now. So, you know, and then I am just like, Ranze, what are you doing? Just what the heck are you doing? Things like that. And I am just like, oh, this is gonna go cringy as heck. And yeah. And if everybody has seen the episode, you know how everything's gonna turn down. So, Yuga, well, they're like, Ranze, you okay? And all that. She's like, she's fine. And then the pink gets into her eyes. And then Ranze eyes happen. And I am just like, oh, peachy. So yeah, and then Rook notices something. They go inside the Colosseum, and I am just like, duel time! And then their original opponent was gonna be Gallant, but since Gallant is too weak, aka didn't get enough sleep, he falls off the stairs in the most unidealistic and unrealistic way of manner, and Ranze, being the, I don't know, kind person that she is, uses her ninja reflexes and then catches Gallant. That's not even the worst part. The worst part is, since Gallant is so tired out of his mind, does everybody know that episode in Pokemon XYZ, right? Where like Ash gets himself sick and because he just lo because he needed to train with Greninja because they were trying to get the Ash Greninja thing going on because anime is trying to be exclusive like that. And he comes out of the tent, right? He comes out of the tent all sick and whatever. The first person that he can actually lean on is Serena because Bonnie is a short midget. Well, she's short. Like she's just short. And then he leans on to Serena, and then Serena being Serena that she is, also having a crush on Ash and all that. She's like all blushed up and has no idea what is going on. And he was about to say something like in a sleepy kind of way, like you think he's awake, but he's not. He's kind of just tired and sleepy. It's like that. It's basically like that. Except replace Ash with Gallant, and then replace the words with with the Great One, aka Asana. So what I'm trying to say here is, since Gallant was so sick out of his dang mind, and like didn't realize that it was Ranze and not Asana, he just so yeah. Since Gallant was so tired to not focus on what was going around, and because he's still in that mindset of I need to protect the Sana, because apparently he thinks that she needs protecting, which I'm just like, bro, give her a space, man. Because of that, and the fact that he's sick, I am just like, oh my goodness, Ranze. Why are you listening to this man? If I can call him that, because like we don't know what his real age is, and I find that concerning. But yeah, so Gallant in his sleepy, sick, awake mode-esque. I don't know. I think of Ash Ketchum when he was sick and trying to go to Sereno or whatever for that episode. He said something about, oh, the Great One, and like, thank you, the Great One, or something like that, or like just praising the Great One for, the beauty and talent that Asana has. But I mean, yeah, if she was able to maximum summoning, boom, already duelist pro, let's go. And Ranze takes that misunderstanding and gets all Ranze eyes or whatever because thank you translations, and I am just like, woo! So yeah, so Gallant was gonna duel, that now Ranze is gonna duel, and already I am just like, do you not have context? Do you have any idea of who the frick he's talking about? You know he's not talking about you, right? Which that killed me the entire episode because I'm like, why are you dueling for him? He doesn't even like you. Like, generally, he does not like you because he kept mentioning the Great One, and everybody knows that's Asana. And yeah, it just doesn't. It just no. It's just a nothing. No. Because for one thing, he never talked about Ronde and all the talent that she has. No, Gallant is like, we need to pray. You need to praise Asana, or I'm gonna kill you. That sort of thing. I don't know. Interpretation. Give make it as an interpretation as it is. These are my own opinions. Please don't at me for having opinions. Please respect mine, and I will respect yours. I don't want any fighting in my brain cells right now. So Ranze is like, I'm gonna duel for him because I think I love him and something like that. And I'm like, the whole time I'm thinking, he doesn't even love you. He does not love you. Also, I'm sorry to headphone users. Yeah. And then because of that, it's only right to have Rinosuke duel his own sister, which, by the way, she is older. I don't know how long, but Ranze is older than Rinosuke. Hopefully not that long, but that's fine. And then Rinosuke is like, I'm gonna duel my sister to knock back some sense, as he should. And I am just like, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. And you know, Rook being Rook that he is, and I'm saying Rook or Luke, I don't know how you want to call him anymore. And he was like, I have the right to duel because, I'm sorry, what? Like that line when he said in last week's episode, or like episode 36, he was like, I have a right to duel. And I'm gonna duel, and I am just like, you don't. Even if you duel Franze, nothing's gonna change her mind at all whatsoever. Like, she is probably gonna be more infatuated with Galleon even more. So, I'm so glad that Rook didn't duel. I mean, next week's episode is probably gonna be a doozy. Or tomorrow's episode. I don't know. Episode 37. Anyway, so Rinosuke duels his sister, and funny enough, they both have the same deck. And, you know, the whole dueling tactics or whatever, I liked, well, not really, I kind of, the thing that I found a little bit annoying in the duel is that when it was Rinosuke's turn, Rook would draw the cards, and he's like, what to do, and I'm like, this ain't your duel, dude, you have your duel, your duel's next, is the next episode, oh my goodness, are you obsessed with dueling? And I will get into Rook on why I don't specifically like him at all. Like, he's a good character, but he's just not my favorite. Like, the fact that he's obsessed with dueling, I am just like, why is he not the protagonist of Yu-Gi-Oh! Sevens? But, you know, Yuga's the protagonist for a dying reason. And I don't know why. I just don't know why. So, the duel happens. Ranze tries her best to get the ace monster out, which she does successfully in turn 3, and then turn 4, apparently Rinosuke has an ace that correlates with flower and guns. Yeah, you never really think flower and guns would be a good combo, but it did anyway. And when I saw the episode, I was just like, guns? I'm sorry, what? Because keep in mind, both Rinosuke and Ranze were raised in a shinobi or ninja. For my sake, I'm going to say ninja because shinobi. I feel like I'm saying it wrong. Shinobi. They were raised in a very traditional Japanese ninja style manner. So you would never really think that guns would be in a ninja lifestyle, but unique cool art, so there we go. And the duel, surprisingly, it ended in a draw, which first draw out of Yu-Gi-Oh! Sevens, finally. And I am just like, oh my goodness, no one saw that coming, because both decks were made to cancel, like, both of Ranze and Rinosuke's decks, they balance each other out to where, like, they can cancel each other out. And I'm like, this is great. This is just an amazing thing, because now Sevens is becoming more unpredictable, and I love it for that. During the duel, though, some things I've noticed were, for one thing, Ranze is just conflicting between her feelings for Yuga and Galleant, which I don't know why she finds short guys amusing or dateable. I don't know why she likes short guys in general. Like, that's just a me thing, though. And, like, you know, like, she's just all confused and whatever, and Rinosuke using the twin telepathy. It's amazing. I love their relationship, not gonna lie, because, like, they know each other inside out, because, again, they are twins, and I love it, because, like, the twin telepathy is just, I don't know, I just find that amazing, and I'm glad that Studio Bridge used it to their writing advantage, if you will. And the whole twin conversation telepathy thing, it was just amazing. And how, like, Rinosuke is like, I'm so embarrassed because I'm so sad because I'm embarrassed of my sister for having crushes on guys that probably don't even like her back. And I am like, this is, yeah, Rinosuke should be the one to snap out of it. I don't know why Rook would, but yeah. And, you know, the fact, and I found this part really funny, the fact that Ranze has 50 observational journals for the targets, quote unquote, and according to the translators, which, again, thank you Entume subs, they are amazing, they're great at subbing sevens, they're great at, for one, I mean, you know, making the subs available early as possible. And, you know, they are being, I don't want to say flexible because that's not the right word, open? I don't know. Like, at least, like, they know about, like, if they know, like, something happened, then they can tell the fans about it, which I'm, like, I'm very happy for. Like, at least the subbers, the team are, like, more, what is it, connected? They're more social about it when it comes to subbing. And I'm aware that subbing in Yu-Gi-Oh! Has a bad track history, not gonna lie. Like, Vrains was the only show that had a simulcast, which, I believe, like, you know, like, as soon as when this show airs in Japan, it can air 1 hour in the U.S., thank you to Crunchyroll. And, like, you know, like, JX, Jaru had to wait, like, two weeks for subs to come out, which I'm like, well, I'm glad I wasn't into Jaru when it was airing, because that would have been torture for me. So, glad I jumped into Arc 5, although Arc 5 had subbing issues, kind of. I ended up waiting for a week and a half just for subs to come out. And I still watched the Raw either way. 5Ds, I don't think I saw it when it was airing. And GX, I was barely born. And DM was non-existent for me. But yeah, so where was I with that statement? I'm glad that Rook didn't duel. Because if he did, he would just made it everything worse. So yeah, I love Rinosuke's... Now I remember what I was going to say now. The fact that her targets, which end up to being, I'm going to call it crushes. She has 50 crushes. What the frick? How can someone have 50 crushes? Like, now it would just be like, are you mentally okay? Because having 50 crushes, especially when you're like, what, 11, 12 years old, I just find that kind of ridiculous, not going to lie. Considering the fact, okay, because when I was, like, little, like, I had crushes, but they were, like, as I grew up, I had more crushes on people, sort of, but, like, they were, like, small, they weren't, like, a big deal or anything like that. Like, I didn't even know if crushes were working or not, and I think with Ranze, I'm just, like, yeah, I don't think you know what the definition of a word, I don't think you know what the word crush is, or, like, what a crush is supposed to be. Like, if anything, it could just be like an ad, like, you just like them, but not in a romantic sort of way. Like, it could be platonic. I don't know. But Ranze having 50 crushes is just fun. It's fun. So much fun. And all that. And the duel itself, it was really entertaining. I loved it. If I do sound tired, I deeply apologize. I'm recording this at night, but it will be out on every Thursday, as I do it to be. I'm gonna talk about episode 37 because I just need to get it out of my system. Rook is dueling a pigeon. He's dueling a pigeon! Oh my goodness! This show is completely on crack right now. I'm pretty sure when the bridge writers were doing these episodes, they were high. Oh my goodness. Rook is dueling a pigeon! He's dueling a pigeon. A bird that can surprisingly give out milk to their young. Go figure. A bird. Out of all the things he's dueling a bird. I'm not sure what's weirder, a pigeon or a half-cat person. I am concerned. I am concerned over Rook's world. No, not really. He's becoming more dumber and dumber every single episode, and I hate it. And I'm just like, so you're telling me you're getting me a skilled duelist who always ends up getting he always ends up having a new ace every time he duels. Which I find that annoying, by the way. How many more aces does he even have? Oh my goodness. He needs to lose. And if he loses to the dang pigeon, this show is on crack. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? So, yeah, Rook is dueling a pigeon. I am not that excited for it. I wouldn't be surprised if Rook wins, but I'm on team Rook loses to a pigeon because I'm just ready for the memes. Yeah, and I get that Rook is gonna have I don't want to say a vendetta, but has like a more, he has a reason to not win against the pigeon. He has a reason to not win against a pigeon. There we go. And, like, even if they... I mean, knowing bird decks in general, especially with raid raptors, harpies, mostly, like, wind attributes, they don't really necessarily... Like, they kind of can't compete with dragon type decks, and I would know because I play Duel Links, and I will do a dedicated segment on Duel Links sooner or later, just not now. And what's it called? Yeah, normally wind monsters, they don't really do well with dragons. They would need to have more support than dragon types, and considering the fact that it's rush dueling, like, yeah, you contribute a wind monster and whatever. Most of them are like, I want to kind of say low leveled, I think. I don't know. Again, I could be wrong, but what I've been seeing so far is that most wind level monsters are typically 4 or lower. I would be like, I'm happy that they're like 5, 6, 7, 8, those type of monsters. But mostly like the winged bird, the bird monsters, because I know for a fact. Wait, weren't taiga's monsters wind monsters? Because they're based off from instruments and all that? I mean, yeah, that too. But yeah, in terms of bird monsters, they're not necessarily that powerful. Again, sevens is unpredictable and they can change literally everything. So, yay. But I'm pretty sure they don't really stand a chance against dragon type decks. And since Luke gets a new ace about every single time he duels... Fun. Anyway, episode 37 is gonna be crazy. And no, that's it. It's just gonna be a crazy, crazy duel. Yeah, I'm not ready for it. So, tune in to next Thursday where I talk about Rook dueling a pigeon and seeing how that's gonna go. If you guys enjoyed this episode, please like it, follow the podcast, subscribe to it, please share it out to anyone who loves the Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime and loves commentary. I know I have probably abused a lot of ears today. I'm so sorry for your ear loss. I'm sorry to headphone users out here. I yell a lot. I mean, the fact that I'm also a singer doesn't really help that factor out either, but, hopefully next week ain't gonna be calm. It's Rook dueling a pigeon. Of course there's gonna be screaming involved. But I'll try my best not to scream. Anyway, again, please like it. Please share it. Please support the podcast by listening to it. I don't have a donation page where you can donate money to me because I don't have that yet. So, hopefully, sooner than later. Yeah, and if you guys want to follow podcast updates on this podcast, on my other two podcasts, or me, or, like, you know, delays and something like that, you can head over to social media, more specifically on Instagram and Twitter. Twitter at Lone Wolf Nerd on Twitter. Yeah, Lone Wolf Nerd on Twitter. Sorry, I am trying to recuperate my information here. Or you can follow me on Instagram at the_lone_nerd_26 on Instagram. Both are greatly appreciated. I appreciate the support, please and thank you, on social media. If you guys have any questions, comments, concerns about the podcast or my hosting abilities or my inability to not scream over something completely stupid, my email will be down below at wolfthelone90@gmail.com. Again, questions, comments, concerns about the podcast, me, hosting abilities, ear rape, that sort of thing. Email down below. What else is there? Oh yeah, I previously mentioned before, I have two podcasts. Why? I don't even know anymore. But including this one that airs out every single Thursday, I have another one. One that airs on Tuesday and one airs on Wednesday. The Tuesday podcast is called the Lone Wolf Dormitory Podcast, where I rant about the game Disney Twisted Wonderland in all its guts and glory, on top of Disney and anime, depending on the day I'm feeling, honestly. So if you're interested in that, links down below. Or if you guys are just interested in my daily commentary about stuff, I have the podcast, the Lone Wolf Podcast, where I talk about random stuff for no apparent reason, and there, I have a show that I put on my podcast because I didn't want to mix everything up. Having a conversation where I do the same thing, but with people. So if you're interested in that, the Lone Wolf Podcast and its links will be down below. Anything else that I'm missing? Oh yeah. Thank you to P Egotist for supporting. Not really. He doesn't know I exist. But thank you to the music that I have downloaded from his Bandcamp website. His YouTube link will be down below, so if you guys want to support him, his YouTube link will be down below. And check out his music while you're at it. It's really good. I love his Yu-Gi-Oh! Covers, hence why I'm using his Yu-Gi-Oh! Music for my intro and outro. And stuff like that. I do love Trump Card from Arc 5, and I do love Believe in Magic from Yu-Gi-Oh! Brains. So if you guys want to check out more Yu-Gi-Oh! Music, P. Egotist YouTube channel will be down below. And I guess with all that being said, I will howl at you later, and stay safe. As you feel no rhythm from R&B, you're a voice cause you don't know the beat. Let the world know you're here to stay and go beyond the limits we decided. You just have to try it. Living in a world with infinite ways surrounding us, where we stand, our limits are our lives that we connect. Our timeline rolls in our hands, cause nothing is ever set. Those times you cannot bear, just go and set yourself free, cause we still believe in magic. Can you see the miracles that we can leave? Can you see the miracles?